Yashodanandana Bhajajananandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Rama, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Pai Vajikacharya Asta-tata-shata, Sri Srimad is Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Bhaktivinda ki. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraya. Nasa Praishu Bhadrishu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naishiki. Reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Text Number 23. I think 22 was not, it was no purport, so I'll chant number 22 first. Kvachitya yena hi sila mangalam kvachitta da bi asina vejam al yushaha yatro bayam kutra chasopi amangala sumangala kashana kangshate himam. Translation. This is Lakshmi Devi speaking. Someone may have longevity but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Someone may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. And if even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 6:23. Evam Vimrishya Avyabhichari Satgunai Varam Nija Eka Ashrayataya Aguna Ashrayam Vavre Varam Sarvagunai Apekshitam Rama Mukundam Nirapeksham Ipsitam Evam Vishyavya Vichari Satgunar Varam Nijaik Ashrayatva Ayagunashrayam. Bhavre varam sarva gunir apikshitam Brahma mukundam nirapeksham ipshitam Evam vishrimi vishrish yavichari satguner Varam nijak nijaikashrayat sayagunashrayam Bhavre varam sarva gunir apikshitam Rama mukundam nirapeksham ipsitam Maharaj. In this way, Vimishya, after full deliberation, Avyabhichari Satgunai, with extraordinary transcendental qualities, Varam superior, Nijayika Ashrayat. Because of possessing all good qualities without depending on others, Aguna Ashrayam, the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, Bhavre, accepted, Varam, as a bridegroom, Sarva Gunai, with all transcendental qualities, Apekshitam, qualified, Rama, the goddess of fortune, Mukundam, unto Mukunda, Nirapeksham, although he did not wait for her, Ipshitam, the most desirable. Translation in the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband because, although he is independent and is not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers, is therefore the most desirable. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, after full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is self-sufficient. Since he is fully independent, he is not in want of support or association of Lakshmi Devi. Nonetheless, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, accepted him as her husband. Om Anjana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sabitam Yena Bhutale Svamupakadamayam Dadati Svapanantikam Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll read the two verses again. Some may have longevity but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. Some may have both auspiciousness and good behavior, but the duration of his life is not fixed. Although such demigods as Lord Shiva have eternal life, they have inauspicious habits like living in crematoriums. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today's verse. Shukadeva Goswami continued in this way. After full deliberation, the goddess of fortune accepted Mukunda as her husband, because although he is independent and not in want of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and is therefore the most desirable. So in this part of the Bhagavatam, the demigods and asuras are cooperating, churning the milk ocean, and after overcoming the poison that was generated from the churning with the help of Lord Shiva, they continue churning. Various things are coming out of the churning, and one of them is Lakshmi Devi. Now she's like any woman in this material world. She's in the Vedic culture, it's recommended that women be married if possible. And she's looking for a suitable partner. And she's analyzing, using her discrimination to see who would be a fit person for her to marry. Of course, she's so qualified, so there's a kind of a general principle in the Vedic culture that for something like a marriage or that type of relationship, it's nice if equals are put together. So she wants to find someone, she's very qualified, she wants to find someone that she cannot find any fault with. And she's, the last few verses, she's been analyzing the pros and cons of possible personalities that she could marry. So a few verses ago she said, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, was examining various personalities, but she could not find anyone naturally endowed with all good qualities. None of them were devoid of faults, and therefore she could not take shelter of any of them. For she's not being a fault finder. Like, it wouldn't be proper if she is married to the wrong person, so she's using her discrimination in the proper way. We're doing something for Krishna. Of course, usually in the material world, marriage is based on sense gratification. I'll find somebody to marry who's handsome and rich and will make me feel like Lakshmi Devi, will protect me, make me feel like I'm special. But in the material world, that mood of being special has the defect of leaving out Krishna, who's the most special personality. And if we think we're special, then we don't think we need to do any service for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the material world, we want some good, everyone's trying to imitate God, whether it's a man or a woman, and we're trying to squeeze out as much pleasure from the material world as possible and do the least amount of service as possible. So she's very qualified materially and spiritually. She's not in the mentality of wanting to lord it over material existence. She just wants to find the proper transcendental husband. So she's looking at various possibilities, but she couldn't find anyone that was qualified with all good qualities. We'll read up to where we are today. The goddess of fortune, examining the assembly, thought in this way: someone has undergone great austerity but not yet conquered anger. Someone possesses knowledge but he has not conquered material desires. Someone is a great personality but he cannot conquer lusty desires. Even a great personality depends on someone, something else. How then can he be the supreme controller? So she's looking for the perfect personality. She won't put up with anything less than the ideal. But this is the state of most devotees. Most devotees come to the conclusion that, like there was a song, I think, by Bob Dylan, "You Have to Serve Somebody." So in the material world, we have to serve somebody, but we go to a 9-to-5 job, serve some boss who is a materialistic person, who smokes and drinks and eats meat. We don't feel very enlivened to serve those kind of personalities. So she wants to, Lakshmi Devi wants to serve the perfect person. And most devotees come to that search for who should be the object of my time, energy, and devotion. So what Lakshmi Devi is doing is doing what we all should be doing, searching for the absolute truth. Then she goes on, someone may possess full knowledge of religion but still not be kind to all living entities. So there's a lot of people that are so-called religious, but whether they're Christians or Buddhists or Muslims or Hindus, all too often they kill animals in big slaughterhouses. And they think, well, there's no bad karma from that. Allah will forgive me, or Jesus will forgive me, or Buddha will forgive me, or Lord Vishnu will forgive me, or something. It's hard to tell what their justification is. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is really free from the influence of the material modes of nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna to become free from the material modes. He says, Nishtray Gunyo Bhav Arjuna. But here Lakshmi Devi is saying that everybody is, the actual word is Guna Sangha Svarjita. Sangha means association, so the tiny living entity is in association with the material modes. And we're in a very marginal, precarious position. So we're associating with these modes. And we're very small, so we're easily swayed by them. So Lakshmi Devi is saying that no one is completely free from the modes except, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in today's two verses, she was saying that someone may have longevity, live a long time, but not have auspiciousness or good behavior. There are funny people that, although in Kali Yuga it says Mandu Sumanda Mateo Manda Bhagya Upadrutaha, that people are unlucky, always quarreling, have short duration of life. People are still, like through modern medicine, they might live a few years longer than they did a few years back. So they squeeze out more time, a little bit sometimes. But what is that time spent? It's just in useless material pursuits. So she's saying that someone may have long life, so-called long life, but it's just wasted in materialism. Or they may have some good qualities, but then have a short life. So there's a saying, there's nothing as sure as death, nothing as uncertain as when it'll actually come. Even for both devotees and non-devotees, Krishna's in control, so we don't know. A lot of great personalities lived a short time. Like Lord Chaitanya lived only about 48 years. I think Shankaracharya also lived a short time. And some material scientists who did great things also lived a short time. So we cannot control how long we will live. It's described that there's many factors. One thing is that by our karma, we may have so many breaths, you know, designated for us. And then when we become devotees, Krishna can change our karma if there's some reason to do so. So it's very complex, but we're not in control of how long we'll live. So Lakshmi Devi is making a good observation that how could somebody be, she wants to marry the supreme person, and anybody that has these defects is not the supreme. Then she considers demigods like Lord Shiva. She concludes that Shiva has an inauspicious habit like living in crematoriums. Of course, she's not really considering Lord Shiva in the terms of a devotee. It doesn't seem like she's offending Lord Shiva in the same way that Daksha Maharaj offended Lord Shiva in another part of the Bhagavatam, when Lord Shiva was marrying his daughter and Daksha Maharaj was very critical. So she's just considering who is a good person for her to marry. And although Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, the greatest Param Vaishnava, the greatest devotee of the Lord, in terms of normal social considerations, most ladies would not want to marry someone that hangs out in crematoriums, has ashes on the body. Like when people get married, they dress up in their best clothes, nice, you know, wedding dress for the lady and a nice tuxedo for the man or nice fancy clothes. But Lord Shiva never dresses like that. He's very renounced. He looks bad because he associates with very fallen living energy and brings them up. So he kind of is very accessible. But he's a great devotee. So she's not criticizing him for being a great devotee. She's just thinking in terms of who she should marry. And she's destined to marry Narayan or Mukunda. So she has the right to make these discriminations. And even if others are well qualified in all respects, they are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know that if someone's not a devotee, whatever quality, good qualities they have, like Prabhupada said, there's so many zeros. If we don't put one in front of all the zeros, then they have no value. So Lakshmi is saying that someone may have good, some pretty good material qualities, although they can never be good in all respects. If they're not a devotee, they're, as it's described in the scriptures, that they're hovering on the mental platform, the mano-rath, the chariot of the mind, and they don't have the good qualities of the demigods. So in today's verse that is on the board, she says, in this way, after full deliberation, Shukadev Goswami says, after full deliberation, the goddess fortune accepts Mukunda as her husband because although he is independent and not one of her, he possesses all transcendental qualities and mystic powers and therefore the most desirable. So actually, Mukunda has all good qualities, and he's self-sufficient. He's all knowledgeable, abhigyas, and he's swarat, independent, fully independent. He doesn't need anyone, anything, but he loves to respond to the devotion of his devotee. So he naturally has a devotional inclination when someone like Lakshmi Devi wants to surrender to him, who's so qualified, who doesn't have any material motives. He just wants to marry the ideal person, and she wants to serve. Lakshmi Devi doesn't marry just to get a good house in the suburbs and a color TV, but she's always known to be cooking or cleaning around. She's doing menial service for Lord Narayan, sweeping in the dust from his feet and serving his lotus feet in various ways. So she doesn't want a material position, she wants service. And so she's saying that here she makes the right choice. She has the garland, and she puts it around the neck of Mukunda, Lord Narayan. And so sometimes, so she's lucky, she gets to marry Krishna. Gets to marry the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so a lady would like to be protected, and Krishna is the real protector. Even if we marry a devotee of Krishna, we should see that devotee is able to protect us because of the blessings of Krishna. We should always remember that Krishna is behind everything. And Krishna doesn't need Lakshmi Devi in a sense, but he's happy to reciprocate. Yayatamam prapajante. He doesn't need us for any material factor, but Krishna loves the devotion that someone can offer. So trying to find the absolute truth and to serve the absolute truth is a devotional activity, and it pleases Krishna. Now the impersonalists, they're also looking for the absolute truth. So here we see that Lakshmi Devi is using discrimination to see who is the most ideal personality to serve and who has defects. So the impersonalists are also using discrimination. They use a process called neti, not this, not that. So they see, but the impersonalists see defects everywhere. They don't see transcendental qualities, like Krishna's called nirguna. He doesn't have any material qualities, but he has so many beautiful transcendental qualities. But the impersonalists, they say Krishna may be beautiful, but they misinterpret that his body is material and temporary. They think, well, he just has some kind of body like every other body in this material world. So true, he's beautiful, but if we get attached to Krishna, we might get hurt. So there's this principle, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, that we project on others what's in ourself. Atmavan, we project, we use our mind to project it on everyone else. So a thief thinks that other people might be thieves, or a drunk thinks everybody would like a bottle of liquor. So we project on the Supreme Lord our own limitations. So the impersonalists, they can't conceive of good qualities being eternal. they can't conceive of transcendental qualities, so they want to get, they think any quality is to be rejected, so they go neti neti, it's the absolute truth is not this, it's not that, not a material thing, it's not a spiritual thing, it's just nirguna, it has no qualities at all. And the only way that we can be safe is to be in a bubble of impersonalism, bubble of nothingness. Because everything, they believe everything can bring us down, can, everything we get attached to will ultimately be lost. But Lakshmi Devi has an eternal relationship with Lord Narayan. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And even though we turn our back on Krishna, he never turns his back on us. He's always waiting to help us if we just turn to him sincerely. So it's exactly the opposite of what they conceive of. Krishna, rather than being nirguna, is full of all qualities. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Krishna is full of everything, everything wonderful. So here we have this beautiful temple, Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. It's the most beautiful Vyasasana of Srila Prabhupada I've ever seen, this beautiful Vyasasana. So we are very fortunate to have the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, who's given us this beautiful life of Krishna consciousness. Although we may not fully take advantage of it, or it may take some time, some years to get rid of our bad habits, our anarthas. If we just stay in the boat of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada has established, then we are in a safe position. One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Juhu and with some devotees, and there were different kind of dogs on the beach. So one dog was owned by a wealthy Bombay gentleman, and this dog was had a nice I guess he probably had a leash, and he looked very confident and happy and, you know, fired up, enthusiastic. And then there was another dog that was a street dog that had no master, no owner. So Prabhupada said, this the one that has an owner, he called the I think Sanath, and the one that had no owner was called Anath, no lord, no master. So Prabhupada said, if we have a spiritual master, then we're like the dog that feels cared for and protected and is very enthusiastic. If we don't take shelter of the spiritual master, then we're like a street dog that's on his own, you know, just scrapping for scurrying around trying to get a scrap of something to eat, and people throw things at a street dog. And in America, some people that have a dog will take the dog for a shampoo and take really nice care of the dog. So when we're Krishna's devotee, we're like a dog that's fully protected by the Supreme Lord. So who gives that protection is the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada is the Shiksha Guru, the spiritual master of the whole ISKCON society. We may have our Diksha Guru, but our own individual initiating spiritual master, but Prabhupada is the spiritual master for all of us in terms of his wonderful instruction, in terms of his books, in terms of his principles that are guiding the society of ISKCON. So as long as we follow Prabhupada to the best of our ability and associate with devotees that are following Prabhupada, and are trying to keep Prabhupada's mission and principles in our vision and our consciousness, then we'll be protected. Just like Lakshmi Devi is trying to find the perfect protector, we should realize that we have the perfect protector in Srila Prabhupada and the perfect association in terms of those who are trying to follow Prabhupada. So there has to be some kind of mood of appreciation for what we've been given. If we appreciate them, we may want to give a little bit back. And that's the essence of devotional service. We've been given so much, and just to give a little bit back pleases Krishna so much. Or the story of the bum in New York that just brought some toilet paper and donated that to the temple. So he was not very qualified, but he had the right mood. I want to give something back. Some devotee had probably given him prasadam, or given him something nice, been friendly to him. So this bum wanted to give something back. If we have that mood of wanting to give back something to Srila Prabhupada to help do what he's done, it may be very insignificant, like when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, you know, on his little finger. A lot of the coward men would put their sticks under the hill thinking they'll help out. So they got to help, they got to do some service, but really Krishna was doing everything, but they also got to participate. So it's for our benefit to participate in ISKCON. Of course, sometimes it seems like, well, I got to do this service because no one else is there to do it. But ultimately, the service that we get is for our own benefit, not that Krishna needs us. Krishna's doing fine right now in the spiritual world. It's described that most of the people are already liberated in the spiritual world, just maybe 25% of the material creation is for the rebellious souls, like us who have trying to be like God ourselves in various ways. So Krishna already has taken care of most of the people, most of the spirit souls have the right attitude. We're among the group that are a little affected by Maya. So we have to be careful to try to take advantage of everything that Srila Prabhupada has given us. It's easy to say and hard to do. So we come to a beautiful temple like this and see the spirit of the devotees who are serving someone to the best of their ability. It's very inspiring. So it's very humbling, and thank you for allowing me to come and associate with you all and to participate in ISKCON, Chicago, to I wasn't so prepared for giving the class, I was a little bit, but anybody have any comments or questions?
Yes. Thank you so much, Sarvabhauma Prabhu, wonderful class. And we're very appreciative of your association here. We hope to have more of that in the future.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
I was just thinking of one important point that you highlighted in your class about that type of protection is given by the spiritual master. And the perfect protector, or when we look for the perfect protector, just like Lakshmi Devi is choosing Krishna, Lord Vishnu as a perfect protector. When we search for that perfect protector, is Krishna that comes through the spiritual master. And in the example here that Lakshmi Devi actually in the process of marriage, she's choosing her husband, but she's doing it, on her own, independently. Obviously, she is not an ordinary personality, she is the energy of the Lord. So, but how we should approach this, ourselves, as living entities, in terms of, approaching, searching for that appropriate partner or, marriage partner.
Firstly, the spiritual master, we can search for a spiritual master, or we can search for a devotee husband or wife. It's the same basic principles. We want protection. So if we want to get married, we feel that at some point it's with our nature our nature is to be married, then we should try to find a spiritually qualified husband or wife. So first we have to be a devotee ourselves, and we should, whoever we marry should be a devotee, ideally, although there are some devotees that are actually married to non-devotees. Like, I don't know the details, but Yogeshwar Prabhu is a senior devotee, but his wife is not a devotee, but he's still a devotee. So I don't know how that works, but it's obviously better, it's easier to be married to a devotee if you're going to be married. And the general way in the Vedic culture is a Vaishnav family would, the parents would help find a suitable boy or girl from another family that was also Vaishnavas, that were devotees of the Lord. And sometimes they would help the persons who were going to get married. Like most people in the Vedic culture would get married. So it's the parents who are devotees would help out in the process. Now in ISKCON we don't always have, sometimes we have devotee parents that do this. A lot of our second generation devotees, like somehow the parents know devotees in some other temple. I didn't have children, so I don't know how it works exactly, but I know in Dallas there's quite a lot of second generation devotees that got married. How many of these were arranged or suggested by parents? How many were, they just liked each other? I don't know. But the first quote seemed like a very good criteria is that it's a devotee, and if it's a good devotee you're marrying, that's one good thing. Of course, there are other considerations like astrology, because in the Vedic culture, the parents would often consult astrologers as well to find out some influences on each person to see if they'll be compatible or harmonious. And if the stars are quite against a good combination, that was taken in consideration, or if the stars were good, lined up for good. It seems very complex. It doesn't seem like it's perfectly done in ISKCON, but a number of second generation devotees have had fairly good beginnings to their marriages and their devotees. So firstly, the one consideration is a good devotee who's following. And even that's not always possible. There's a story about Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, where her husband, she was married to a husband who was, he believed in Krishna, but his activities weren't always ideal. So at some point he was drinking alcohol. And his sister, Prabhupada's sister, didn't leave him. She was doing nice deity worship. She kept praying to the deities, please help my husband come to give up his bad habits. And eventually he did. So if we think that it's not all one-way street, like some ladies think, oh, I have to find a very good devotee husband who's really, really advanced, and then that'll help me, which is true. But each person should help, especially if the ideally they should be devotees, should help each other and help inspire each other, and not there may be faults, but try to progress towards overcoming the faults and so forth. So it's a difficult, obviously the spiritual master sometimes helps. I mean, the spiritual master takes over some of the role that a husband would take over in the Vedic culture, you know. But Prabhupada said it's easier if you don't have to get married. It's easier if you stay brahmachari and, you know, keep your life simple. But if you've been a brahmachari for so many years and it starts to feel really artificial, and you have so many material desires that you feel like a hypocrite or something, and you might be able to serve more steadily if you're married than just living artificially renounced, then you may have to make some search for, you may have to consider getting married and so forth. But it seemed like a very complex topic. I mean, like for myself, I was attracted as just, at one point I realized I'm not cut out to be brahmachari for the rest of my life. But there weren't too many choices that I had in the temple that I was at. I found someone that was a good devotee who was wanting to get married, and that somebody suggested it. It was kind of a semi-arranged situation, and so I just saw this is a very good devotee. I didn't find them particularly, I didn't choose just for their beauty or their other qualities, but the first consideration, they were a good devotee. And in one quote, Prabhupada said that in the material world, you think only the compatibility from a material consideration, but Prabhupada said, what is it? Yeah, we should make ourselves compatible with serving Krishna. So even if the persons don't have perfect astrology, perfect this and that, if they're trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna will help overcome all the imperfections. So if both people are good devotees and put Krishna in the center and Srila Prabhupada in the center and their spiritual master in the center, then that can be the basis of a successful Krishna conscious situation as far as I know. Sorry for sort of a wandering answer. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned the practice of the impersonalist avoidance, the neti neti, mm-hmm. not this. And the devotee, on the other hand, is accepting things in relation to Krishna.
Yes.
Some, and you said that the things that are coming our way, Krishna is arranging for our devotional life.
When we're devotees, I mean, there may be some obstacles, but in general, Krishna gives us a lot of opportunities. If we're eager to serve Him, He opens up more doors.
If we have this maybe tendency to reject things, like under this, maybe thinking, well, this is not favorable to devotional service. Sometimes it may seem something's favorable for our purification, but is not doesn't appear favorable to our devotional service. I think the brahmachari may think that marriage is one of those cases. Well, it's so much easier to serve if I'm just a brahmachari. So how does one, I guess even from day-to-day life, how does one get over the tendency to just simply reject something and actually practice seeing things in relation to Krishna?
It's a good question, but if we're chanting Hare Krishna sincerely, Krishna gives the intelligence by which we can come to him. So there's this principle called Yukta Vairagya, which means, Vairagya means to renounce, Yukta means to connect. So as long as we don't use it for ourselves, but we use it for Krishna, like there can be some beautiful cloth, and we don't want to wear it ourselves, but we can think, well, that's beautiful cloth, would be great for the deity outfit. So someone may give us a cloth, say, no, we don't need that cloth. I don't need that cloth. I'm a brahmachari. I'm trying to live simply. I got my saffron cloth. If we're Krishna conscious, we won't totally reject it, but we use it for Krishna. And then that's called Yukta Vairagya. Then we're renouncing and using it for ourselves, but we're using it for Krishna. And so we feel happy, and when we see the same cloth on Krishna, then we're very satisfied. So we can reject things for ourselves, but if we reject everything, that means we're not understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. So there are many things that can be used in Krishna's service. So even we saw the print program on George Harrison. So for most of us, rock music is Maya, but George Harrison was able to use his music, and Prabhupada said, no, play music, but make it more spiritual. Bring Krishna in. But for most devotees, have a dream that I'll become a big rock star like George Harrison. If we become a rock star like George Harrison, we're going to forget Krishna. So George Harrison was a little unusual that he was quite thoughtful, and probably did a lot of devotional service in a previous lifetime. So even though he got all this name and fame and money and everything material, he saw that it's not satisfying to the souls, and he wanted to use it for Krishna. So he gave a beautiful manor. Our biggest temple in England now is called Bhaktivedanta Manor, and George Harrison used to live there, but he donated the whole place for Krishna's service. He donated to print the Krishna book, $19,000. So he used some of his that was given to him for Krishna's service. He didn't renounce everything. So that's the understanding of renunciation, that for ourselves we may live simply. But if someone says, if you're late for a program and someone says, well, I'll give you a ride in my fancy car, so you may not want to ride with, you may think the car's very fancy, but if it'll get you to the program, you can use it. So, does that answer your question, sort of?
Yes, thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Anyway, thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki.